The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn this week on the Glenn Beck program. 888-727-BECK. A lot going on with the president and his tweets this morning. We're deep into some Spygate situation. The FBI apparently got a spy into the Trump campaign. At least that's the claim on Fox News and President Trump tweets. There doesn't seem to be any proof of that. But they're running with it.
The guy said it.
Yes. Yes.
Talking about there's no proof. The guy said it.
If Fox and Friends says it and the president tweets it, it must be so.
Fact.
It's a fact. Yeah. They opened the show today with a reading of Trump's latest tweets, which apparently set off the president on another wild tweet storm. And he's calling this Spygate. And so he tweeted out a new bombshell in the Obama spying scandal. Did other agencies spy on the Trump campaign? Even Clapper, world's dumbest former intelligence head, who has the problem of lying a lot, used the word spy when describing the illegal activities. He later tweeted out, look how things have turned around on the criminal deep state. They go after phony collusion with Russia, a made-up scam. Not sure what the meetup scam is, and end up getting caught in a major spy scandal, the likes of which this country may never have seen before. Wow. All right, so there's a new bombshell.
Hey, you left out what goes around comes around, my friend.
Oh, and what goes around comes around.
Okay, if you're going to read the tweet, let's read.
He's calling this the biggest scandal in American history. We've had some serious scandals in American history. I'm not sure that we can put this up there with those yet.
Well, yeah.
Not just yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's wait a day or two, or maybe at least 15, 20 minutes.
Maybe.
Find out if there's any evidence of a spy in the Donald Trump campaign.
Was, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Donald's
kicked him out now.
Well, sure. And there's no campaign right now, except on Twitter, where he seems to be continually campaigning.
Always.
But the Russian investigation, the collusion thing, there's no evidence there either. There's no evidence that Trump colluded with Russians. And this just keeps going on and on and on and on. And I'm tired of it.
Millions of dollars down the drain.
What was it they were saying the other day? That it was $10 million?
Well, for the first year, right? That was
right,
the,
for
that
the,
was
first
the
year.
Mueller investigation for the first year. And the year's up. So right. And it's still ongoing. So I don't know how many more millions on top of the 10.
Now, Rudy Giuliani said yesterday or the day before right. that it was going to end by September 1st.
But right.
That remains to be seen.
But that was also in part with the stipulation that Trump would testify in front of Mueller, right?
And that would be inadvisable.
Very.
Really inadvisable.
Very. Tell him to go pound sand. Don't talk to him.
Absolutely. That would just get ugly. So there's some bad news though for the president.
Oh no.
Today. This is crushing. This is crushing. I don't know how he recovers from this. He may just want to resign from the office of the presidency. I don't know where he goes from here. Robert De Niro has banned him from all of his restaurants. Can you imagine the crushing disappointment that Donald Trump is feeling today?
Is he going to be able to eat again? Or?
No. At least, not with Robert and not at his restaurants and not the deliciousness that is Nobu. He co-owns the Nobu restaurant empire.
Right.
And he said he's banned Trump. And he also said he wouldn't remain in any restaurant that the president is in at the same time. He would get up and leave.
Ugh.
That has to be crushingly disappointing to President Trump.
Now,
wow.
You know, not only, though, is De Niro batting him from Nobu. And I mean, that's as crushing as that is. De Niro is also batting from his hotel chain.
Oh, no. De Niro has a hotel chain,
too? Yes, so.
I didn't, first of all, today was the first day I knew that he had a restaurant chain. And now he's got hotels?
Nobu restaurant and hotel chain.
I'm guessing that Donald Trump stays in, I don't know, Trump hotels.
Yeah.
So I don't know if
it's
that one.
It's possible. I mean, he sure does now, right? Because he can't go to Nobu.
No, he can't go to Nobu.
Right.
And now, what is the hotel chain that
I do not know. Maybe it is. They're both Nobu. I'm not sure.
I mean, De Niro has just been crazy nuts over Trump. He's not couching his words at all. Maybe he's made enough money in his movie career. He doesn't care that he's pissing off half of his potential fan base. But, to these Hollywood leftists, it seems like these political things are more important to them even than their careers. Because they're willing to speak out, or at least they don't think there'll be any repercussions. But I can't imagine Trump fans supporting anything that Robert De Niro does now.
Boy, no kidding.
He's just been too vitriolic. But send out some thoughts and prayers to President Trump today on this.
See if we can get through.
Crushing, disappointing day.
So the Nobu Hotel chain. It is the Nobu Hotel chain.
Okay. Oh, Nobu restaurants and hotels.
Yeah.
All right.
He's got seven, and they're opening more this year.
Does Maybe it say what already, cities?
I mean, they're already open. The first Nobu opened in 2013 as a boutique hotel inside Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas.
Okay.
There's one in Chicago, one in Marbella, one in Riyadh, one in Los Cabos, one in Barcelona.
I've never heard of it. Are they supposed to be...
Yes.
Pretty nice.
Hoity-toity, yes. And the one that they talked about him opening up on some beach was going to be kid-free. He doesn't want any, he's just an old guy that doesn't want children around. And
there is a Nobu restaurant in Dallas.
Oh, wait.
I didn't know that. How about that? Right here in the Metroplex.
See, but, and we can't, can we go?
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to support his crappy restaurant.
Right.
But you could if you wanted to. It was, I'm just reading that the Dallas restaurant was closed for a private event, but that was on May 15th and 17th. You might want to, hey, Nobu, you might want to update your stupid website.
Well, they're too boutique-y to update websites.
I guess so. If there's seven hotels, does it say how many restaurants
there
are?
More. Yeah, no, I'm guessing that maybe the restaurants are with the hotels. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Okay. 888-727-BECK. Also, we got to get into this Tommy Lahren situation. Why do people think it's okay if you politically disagree with somebody's opinions that you can treat them like crap if you see them out in public?
I don't know.
When did that it seems like that's
know.
A fairly new thing.
It is fairly new. But it does happen, and it's kind of agonizing.
Really ugly. Really nasty. And even the president tweeted about her today. And, I'm not the biggest Tommy Lahren fan there is, but this is really despicable. I mean, it's really, really despicable behavior. And since I thought it was the left that was totally tolerant of others.
Oh, please.
Please, they're accepting of everybody's lifestyle, of everybody's opinions. I mean, they don't have to agree with you, but by golly, we're tolerant and inclusive.
How long ago was it that Glenn is at the park with his wife and kids and people are throwing stuff and are
spitting on
him?
Mm-hmm.
Agonizing.
Yeah, amazing.
So that, I don't know how long ago that was, but I mean, right there is another example.
Well,
right?
we were in New York.
We were still in Manhattan.
Like 2011, maybe?
Okay.
888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck.
Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn. So Tommy Lahren is out to brunch on Sunday with her mom. She and her mom are just trying to go to brunch in Minneapolis, Minnesota at some nice rooftop restaurant. And a bunch of the customers there just accosted her, yelling obscenities at her, throwing drinks on her. One of the videos shows somebody throwing a drink on her.
As she walks by, walks out, they toss a drink on her.
Calling her names. Really? That's okay for the left to do? That's all right? Huh. Because, again, I'm confused. We were tolerant. People were tweeting about whoever that guy is that cussed her out. I hope you're having an amazing day, somebody tweeted. Whoever threw this drink at Tommy Lahren, thank you. That's how people responded to Tommy Lahren being attacked. Out again with her mom. Yeah, nice. And even the article that I got this from Mediaite. Even the article is written kind of like they're glad it happened to her. Tommy Lahren was accosted by an angry horde of brunchers at a Minneapolis restaurant over the weekend. Lahren, the platinum blonde agitator and Fox News contributor. I mean, everybody's got this little spin. I mean, and again, you know, did we have the greatest experience with her? Probably not, but she certainly doesn't deserve that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Just because she speaks her mind and she's a Trump fan, all these people think you have the right now to throw drinks on her and to call her vicious, ugly names when you see her in public? Again, that does seem like a new phenomenon. I don't remember seeing stories like that about people on the right or the left being accosted like this when they went out to restaurants, when they were out in public. That other people felt free to spit on them or throw drinks on them or yell disgusting, vile words at them. We've gotten so ugly as a society. And it does confuse me because the left is so tolerant and inclusive and accepting of everybody's opinions and lifestyle. The culture, just very, very strange. I mean, can they even pretend to make that point anymore? I don't know that you even try to pretend that the left is tolerant anymore, because nothing could be further from the truth. Tolerance just doesn't enter into this equation at all anymore. 888-933-93 or 888-727-BECK is our phone number here. Also, Michael Bloomberg was at a big conference. Michael Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York City, at one time a supposed Republican. And then, of course, he gave up that sham because it was so ridiculous. Nobody believed he was a Republican, and he went independent. Well, he's virtually a flat-out socialist. Listen to what he is preaching here at the International Monetary Fund. Talking about taxing the poor.
Some people say, well, taxes are regressive, but in this case, yes, they are. That's the good thing about them, because the problem is in people that don't have a lot of money. And so higher taxes should have a bigger impact on their behavior and how they deal with themselves.
Okay, do you see what he's saying? He's saying tax people so that they can't do the things you don't want them to do. He's social engineering through taxation here.
And he's had that thought for a long
time. Well, yeah, the soda tax
ever
in New York.
Ever.
We're not trying to
tell people what they can and can't eat.
We're just trying to tell you what you can and can't eat, because you don't know. You don't know what's good for you. I do. I am Michael Bloomberg. I have more money than you, and I know things that you don't know. Like salt's not good for you, and you shouldn't be having soda. Okay.
So I listen to people saying, oh, we don't want to tax the poor. Well, we want the poor to live longer so that they can get an education and enjoy life.
Oh, okay. So we have to tax them because they're so stupid that they're going to do things that harm their bodies. They're so brainless and they make such poor decisions. Let me make the decisions for them by taxing them out of the market of every bad thing they want to eat.
And that's why you do want to do exactly what a lot of people say you don't want to do.
Okay.
The question is, do you want to pander to those people or do you want to get them to live longer? And there's just no question. If you raise taxes on full sugary drinks, for example, they will drink less.
Uh-oh.
And there's just no question that full sugar drinks are one of the major contributors to obesity. And obesity is one of the major contributors to heart disease and cancer and a variety of other things.
And look, we've got to stop these fat idiots from hurting themselves even more. We got to protect them from themselves.
Clearly.
Right? I mean, otherwise they're going to just become giant fat pigs that they got diabetes. Yeah, they got all kinds of heart issues. But if we tax them so much that they can't afford the soda anymore, they won't be big fatties. You can get fat on a lot of other things besides soda. So what are you going to do if they get fat eating ice cream? Then you're going to tax ice cream more, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have to.
Have to.
With this kind of mentality, if the social engineering you're doing on soda drinks and salt and all of those things that you're trying to keep away from them, if that doesn't solve the problem of them hurting themselves, you're going to have to go to the rest of the everything else they're hurting themselves with.
So it's like saying, I don't want to stop using coal because coal miners will go out of work. Well, we'll lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of soldiers in the United States and the U.S. Army.
It's amazing,
but
man.
We don't want to go start a war just to give them something to do. And that's exactly what you're saying when you say, well, let's keep coal killing people because we don't want coal miners to lose their jobs. The truth of the matter is there aren't very many coal miners left anyways, and we can find other things for them to do. But the comparison is a life or a job, or taxes, or life. Which do you want to do? Take your poison.
Plus, you can drink soda and still live. He's acting like you have one can of soda, and it's going to kill you, and I've got to protect you from that. So how could this guy have ever called himself a Republican? That is socialism. At its worst.
Absolutely.
That is communism at its worst.
But he changed so that he could just stay in office longer.
Right.
I mean, he was Republican, Democrat, Independent. It was just a matter so that he could just stay in office.
This guy is
agonizing.
I don't know if people realize Michael Bloomberg is one of the most dangerous people in America because he's so wealthy.
I think you're right.
And he's got, he's so socialist and social engineering oriented, and he wants to control everything.
Well, I mean, he knows best.
He does. He knows best about guns. He knows best about food. He knows best about taxation. He just wants to control every aspect of your life. That's all I want to do. That's all I'm saying here. But it's for you. It's not about me. It's not about my power and control. It's about you.
For the betterment of you.
Jeffy, how much do you weigh?
795 pounds.
Let me help you with that. Okay? Let me help you. You're eating the wrong things. Let me go through your diet and pick and choose the things you can now eat. Won't that be good for you?
Would you
enjoy that? Don't you want to live?
Would you do that?
Yes.
For me?
Don't you want to live? Of course
I do.
Of course, so choose. You're going to eat or you're going to live. Listen to me. I know best.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat Gray and Jeffy this week. For Glenn, 888-727-BECK. I've been talking about sort of the disintegration of society and how people think it's perfectly fine to attack people with whom they disagree when they see them out in public. Just really a weird, really weird situation.
Sure is.
Especially for people who are so inclusive and tolerant. You're throwing drinks on a person because you see them on Fox News saying things you don't like?
I honestly could not imagine doing that to anyone.
Oh, my gosh. If you're...
First of all, I don't know if I was with my wife and acted that way... Oh, right.
Oh.
Right. And I don't know that there's anyone that I despise enough where I would either be angry that I was in the same place with them or that they were in the same place with me. Because I kind of feel like...
Yeah, who can you... I mean, Michael Bloomberg, we were just talking about how idiotic he is.
But if I saw
Michael Bloomberg out without his bodyguards, I wouldn't treat him like that.
No. I mean, let's say Mike and I are, you know, dining separately at Nobu. And, you know, I just want to eat.
Yes.
Right. I know that's a surprise.
Right.
And if, I'm at a restaurant
and if Michael
and I
Bloomberg
eat.
Walked in and you see the waitress leading them to the table, and you'd say, oh, huh.
Hey, that, Michael Bloomberg. Right.
Man, did you hear the latest thing he's doing? I can't stand that guy.
And if you were to cross paths with them, let's say you cross paths with them. Let's say you and Mike, you know, happen to go to the restroom at the same time at Nobu.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you say, hey, Michael. Hey, Mr. Bloomberg. Whatever.
Stop trying to take our guns.
Yeah.
Might say whatever. That.
I might say that. I might
politely.
Say, not crazy about a lot of your ideas, Mike.
Yeah. Hey, I noticed you got some armed guards with you.
Have a good night.
How come you don't think other people should be able to defend
whatever,
themselves?
Whatever, maybe. You might go that
way. Yeah, but, you might, but after, I doubt even that.
Right, but after that, you know, have a good night, right? You go back to your table.
Yes.
Well, you act civilized. I don't understand the mindset of attacking.
You'd still be a decent human being.
Right.
But that's not where we are now.
No, it is not.
And this is why when we talk about this every day, we talk about how do we ever come back together?
I don't know.
As a nation. I don't know. And that's what Glenn's been trying to do, is find people on the other side who share the same concern. And they're willing to reach out and say, all right, let's find some things we can agree on. Can we agree on constitutional principles? Can we agree on the First Amendment? Can we agree on the Second Amendment? No? Okay, maybe we can agree on the Third Amendment. Maybe we can agree on at least freedom of speech and treating each other decently.
You know, we can agree on prison reform.
Well, yes. Thank goodness we can agree on prison reform.
I don't know how many times
I've
said
we've been how often have I harped on it's time to bring about prison reform?
I was so sick of hearing it, as a matter of fact.
Right?
I'm glad it's finally taken care of. Well,
at least in the House.
Yeah.
The House voted 365 to 58 or something like that yesterday. I mean, it was an overwhelming
big deal to them.
Passage of this prison reform bill.
It's a big push by Kushner and his friends.
This is interesting because we're talking about, this is one of the issues on which the right and the left have come together on prison reform. In fact, Van Jones was just on, I think it was CNN, and they were talking about the fact that he... and the president agree on this prison reform thing.
Van, before we get into the serious discussion here, I would like to replay for you the greeting you received by President Trump.
I also want to thank Van Jones.
Strange.
Primarily because
really
he
strange.
Constantly says such nice things about me. He did. Every once in a while, right? Every once in a while, he did. He actually has on occasion. Not too often, but I'll tell you what, though, it does feel
like
good.
Like once.
So, Van, as you yourself have noted, you are left of Pluto. So why is someone left of Pluto sitting next to Jared Kushner being praised by the president?
It's interesting. Not only is he left of Pluto, he's a revolutionary communist. As we pointed
Does
out,
that make you left of Pluto?
As we have pointed out since 2009, he's a revolutionary communist.
Well, I tell you, it was a surreal moment, and it came as a result of real consideration. As you know, and as the president pointed out, I'm tough on this White House. If you give me 100 issues on 99 issues, I've been beating them up hard. Mm-hmm. Because I'm for human rights.
He's for human rights. We're not.
For immigrant rights.
He's for immigrant rights. We're not.
For trans rights. And for the
trans rights.
Oh, yeah,
environment.
And the environment. We all hate the environment.
I mean, he just ran down,
he ran down
a list of things we hate.
Right.
But I had to come.
I love how they put that. You're for human rights. Well, who isn't? No, I'm for taking human rights away from everybody. every person on this planet, they should all be oppressed by Michael Bloomberg.
To a decision, if on 99 issues I'm against you, but on one issue, someone like Jared Kushner, whose dad mm-hmm. went to prison, wants to do something. And on that one issue, it mm-hmm. would help women who are being brutalized in prison. It would mm-hmm. get 4,000 federal prisoners home. It would give people the opportunity to come home earlier if they earn their way home earlier. If you could actually do something to help somebody, do you just do nothing because you don't like them on 99 other issues?
That's exactly what we're talking about, though. There's a guy on the extreme left, and he has come together with President Trump on this prison reform thing. And so have a lot of Republicans and Democrats in the House come together on it. So there are some things on which we can agree. And those are the things we need to find and talk about so that we're not throwing drinks on people we disagree with when we see them in public.
Okay.
Jack in Texas, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Yes, thank you. I was just talking about Tommy Lauren, and the old example might be in the past years would be that a man say something improper to Tommy Lauren, let's say if they're having dinner, and then after he says something improper, she throws the drink on him.
Yes.
And walks out.
Yeah.
However, what happened now is they're not learning the social etiquette because their father is not teaching them that because of divorce. And I think that really what we need to do is outlaw pornography and then tell people, you know, when you get married, you're going to have to pay a little bit more than just your $150 or whatever it is. You're going to have to pay a lot. That way, if you invest in it at the beginning, you're like, yeah, this is serious. I'm not.
Wait, I have to.
Until death do us part.
I have to pay a lot for what?
Well, after we outlaw pornography, because uh-huh. that's crude, rude, and disrespectful to women especially.
Okay.
Then you would say, let's say instead of $150, let's say you would have to pay a greater fee of, I don't know, some amount of money that's going to make you mm-hmm. uncomfortable.
To whom?
Or you're going to have to assign an agreement that says if you get divorced, mm-hmm. you'll have to pay a penalty. Because the cost to our society is so grave with divorce.
Yeah.
The cost is like spreads from not only that family, it's terrible for the children.
Yeah, it
is. You know, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. Mommy and daddy are separated. Maybe they're fighting and all of that. It, mm-hmm. You don't want police to come into your house and try to separate your parents.
No.
It's tragic. And then when you have the repercussions spreading through our community, mm-hmm. it's breaking down our community.
Yeah.
So we have crazy stuff like this, and people think like that's allowable.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks, Jack. So Jack would replace social engineering with more social engineering.
Just thinking, wait, he's making all kinds of new rules, man.
Yes, he is. And I'm still unclear as to whom he wants to pay a lot more money to and for what. But
I can guarantee you that we're all going to be paying for that.
But I know you're excited about banning pornography. I know you're all about that. Am I right, Jeffy?
Yeah, no. No. No, we have a completely different outlook on that.
Terry in South Carolina, welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Good morning, gentlemen. Love the show.
Thank you.
Just wanted to let you know, I'm a Republican, and I've got three grown daughters, and my mother-in-law lives with me, and my wife, well, if you listen to the liberals, I've talked her into voting Republican. one of my grown daughters is a Democrat, and so is my mother-in-law. So we've kind of got a blended family.
Yeah.
And as for that Tommy Lauren incident,
yeah,
we would be mortified if we were at a restaurant and something like that happens.
Yeah. I mean, you'd
probably
intervene, right? I mean, if I'm seeing somebody being treated that way, you're going to intervene.
You have no idea. I grew up with four sisters. So I learned at an early age respect for women.
Mm-hmm.
My dad would have turned me into a stain on the wall if I would have been
respected
a woman.
Yeah.
So, yep. You know, it's a big thing in our family. And something that, you know, all of my daughters have learned at a very early age, and they've been complimented on it time and time again throughout their years growing up, is their manners and how well, I mean, my youngest used to get awards in school for respect.
Yeah, that's great.
And it just amazes me, though, how far the left and the liberals have gone to the point where, well, they've gotten to the point where my two Democrats in the family are honestly considering voting Republican.
Wow.
It's gotten that bad.
Wow.
And they've overplayed their hand. My daughter that is a Democrat that's very liberal, she is, in her own way, a little social justice warrior. And she sees things that go on with groups of people that she's with that she comes home and tells me, and she says, Dad, she says, I want things to change, she said, but I don't agree with how they're going about it at all.
Yeah, I'm glad she can see that because...
Boy, no kidding.
Yeah, that's important.
She does.
Yeah.
And when we have family get-togethers, you know, Thanksgivings and everything else, yes, we do talk politics, but there is utmost respect for everybody's opinions.
Yeah, that's great. Appreciate it.
We don't raise our voices. We don't scream at people. And
You don't spit on each other?
No.
Okay.
My mother-in-law, sometimes she talks with her mouth full of food.
Just send her back to her room.
Yeah. We just kind of dodge it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It really is. I mean, it's just, they've gone too far. They really have.
Yeah.
And I, for one, can't wait for the midterms to keep some Republicans in there because we really need to rein in this liberal, I don't even know what you want to call it anymore.
Well, I don't either.
Because it's not a wave, and it's just they've gone too far.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate it.
I thought we did that, and then apparently we didn't.
And I think the Democrats are going to be surprised in November.
I think so too.
They think they're taking back the House and maybe the Senate. I don't think either one's happening.
I don't think so either.
I don't think and Glenn has been saying lately that they've overplayed their hand a lot, and maybe they have. Maybe they have.
Now, it does feel that way, but that doesn't necessarily
make
it so.
Right. It's pretty hard to overplay your hand with some of these extremes.
Yes, it is.
888-727-BECK. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck Mercury. Glenn Beck.
You know what I think part of the problem is?
No, Pat, what do you think part of the problem is?
Twitter. That's what I think part of the problem is. Twitter has just made us nastier as a society.
As Jeffy MRA has made me nastier?
Uh-huh, yes.
Huh.
Yeah, it has. I mean, you look at the comments on that. And the comments, in fact, it ties right in with the Tommy Lahren thing because they were commenting on Twitter almost in real time as people were throwing drinks on her. And people were commenting on Twitter how great that was.
Yeah. Twitter and Instagram, they were all over it. No question.
Just the ugliness factor on social media has increased to such an extent that can't help but spill over into our real lives, right? It can't help but.
Some of it, I guess. Yeah. You know, it's easy to... I find myself, it's easier to get snarky.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's a nice word.
But it's really easy on Twitter because you're anonymous. Nobody sees you. Nobody's going to know where you are or who you are or where you live or any of that. Whereas in person, if you're that nasty, you could get punched in the face. That's not a problem on Twitter. It's not a problem on Instagram. Not a problem on Facebook. So social media has just made us meaner.
Okay.
You don't buy that?
A lot of this feels like it does. I don't know that it actually does overall. You know, if you talk to people face to face, they get it. It just feels like, although, you know, like I said, it feels that way. And then you see at the Tommy Lahren experience at the restaurant with their mom and you think, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there you go.
Young woman with her mom.
Right.
You can't just leave her alone. But no, because she supports Trump and has some opinions you don't like, you got to throw your drink on her and yell obscenities at her? Yeah, incredible. Rob in Pennsylvania, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy. Hi.
Thank you so much for having us.
You bet.
I just want to thank you guys for what you do because, man, there's times I want to bang my head, but you keep me laughing and keep me at least keep it light. But
Thanks.
Bloomberg, I just, you know, that's just one example. They major in the minors, and then, you know, they don't take care of the important stuff. Like, he's going after soda, but I mean, if you really wanted to go after something important, and again, I'm neither here nor there, you could go after alcohol, because that hurts more people. That has more, you know, on the medical side that they got to take care of things. I mean, there's just
interesting,
so
they
much
don't.
More that they could focus on, and they
yes,
don't.
Yes, and don't let them know about that, because they will. they will.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn this week. Don't forget, at noon Eastern, right after the show, you can join me for my own show, Pat Gray Unleashed, on theblazeradio.com, also on the iHeartRadio app, and all over the place. As a matter of fact, Blaze Radio and Television Network, immediately following this. When is it time for your kids to get out of your house?
Are you 18, asking me?
14?
Oh, yeah.
12?
12, get a job.
We're into a kind of a, you know, we're talking about how nasty society has gotten. It's also gotten a little lackadaisical in certain areas, with kids staying at their parents' house till they're 40, in some cases.
Well, times are tough, Pat.
Times are tough.
And whether, you know, you get a part-time, let's say you get a part-time job, and you got to go to college, right? You have to get a four-year university, maybe five or six.
That accounts for 22 years old. What about the other 18 years?
And then you got to study maybe for the master's and the doctorate.
Right.
And all through that, you either have a part-time job or you don't, because it's tough to have a part-time job and study.
Well, it is. And so it takes longer to go to school.
Right.
Right.
Not a lot of people can do that. And so now you're looking at what? 26, 27?
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi was right.
Right. And so you're just about to run out of your parents' insurance and have to get your own.
Right. So
if you have to get your own, then you certainly can't afford a place. If you're paying for your own insurance.
Oh, then even if you're trying, even if you can't afford your own insurance, there's no way you can afford your own place.
Right.
So you might live in, you might have to stay downstairs or upstairs or wherever you stayed in your parents' home without insurance. You don't want to go out.
Well, there's
something bad might happen.
There's an interesting case in New York where a couple went to court to get their 30-year-old son out of their house. They told him to get out, and he said, "No, I'm not getting out. You can't make me leave." They're like, nice. "Yes, we're." In fact, they wrote up an official eviction notice and went to a lawyer to use the correct language. And called him by his full name and, you know, the whole legal 9 yards. They went through it all and demanded that he get out, and he refused. And so they took him to court. And yesterday, a Supreme Court judge in New York said, kid, you need to get out because, well, you're not a kid anymore. You're 30 years old. Get out of your parents' house. And he called, his name is Michael Rotundo. 30.
Well,
he called the decision outrageous.
Couldn't believe it.
And he's going to appeal the decision.
I mean, that was kind of like similar to the documentary Failure to Launch with Matthew McConaughey.
Oh.
And Sarah Jessica Parker, right? Because he would not leave the house. Terry Bradshaw was the father.
That's right.
And
what's
her face? Kathy Bates was the mother.
Yeah.
And he was
in
his
30s. And they wanted him out, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was, you know.
You know, to me, I would think that would put a little crimp into your love life.
It didn't seem to bother Matthew.
Not in that movie, no.
Now, everyone isn't Matthew McConaughey.
True. And that's not exactly real life. When she asked, where do you live? I live with my parents. I live in the basement of my parents' house. Want to come over? No. No, I don't. Nor do I want you to call me anymore.
But basements are a separate, aren't they separate from the rest of the house?
No, it's part of the same house. Yeah,
they're like down, they're lower.
Yeah, they are lower, but it's part of the same house. Huh. But not in the DFW area, because there's no such thing as a basement here.
There's no such thing as a basement in Texas.
It's a water table issue, right? Isn't that what that supposedly is?
I guess. I don't know. All I know is that you can't have a basement, so you have 10 stories.
Yes. Right. So anyway, strange that you would have to go to court to get your son out of the house. So when is it too old to be living with your parents? I mean, 30 certainly seems
qualify
as too old to be living with your parents if they don't want you there.
Yeah, and normally,
get out.
And normally, it's a kind of an unspoken thing, right? Normally, the child is like, hey, I love living here, but.
Uh-huh. I want to be on my own.
Yeah, I want to do my own thing.
I want to date girls, and I can't bring them back here.
I want to do my own thing.
Right. If that's not a pretty good incentive right there, there's something a little bit wrong there.
Right.
But there's an independence thing that kicks
absolutely.
In. Absolutely. And it usually kicks in your teens, and you can't wait to get out of the house by the time you're 18. You can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
You want to go, and you want to be on your own, and you want to do your own thing. Not that you don't love your parents. You do. But you've been with them now for 18 years, and now it's time to go do your own thing.
Yes.
And, I love my kids, but they love us.
You have to go out and get established so that, later on we can move in with them.
Exactly. Exactly. If I ever have to depend on that, I've told them, shoot me in the head. I don't want to do that.
It's funny, my oldest son said he would do that. I didn't ask him, though.
Elvis would, too. I'm sure you don't even have to ask him.
Don't even think about it. Don't even think about moving it.
So there normally with human beings, there's a natural desire to be independent and to go out and spread your wings and try to fly. So if you fail... And you come on hard times.
Well, that's what we're here for.
Then the parents are there usually to help you get back up on your feet and go fly again. And if that means that they come back for a little while, good. I mean, that's fine, usually, right? But not for a long time.
The window is
small. I mean, if you need to come back for a couple of months.
Maybe.
On the outside.
But what if it took...
If it took 6 months or a year, then it's too long.
Okay.
It's too long. Now, I don't know anybody who's faced a situation
like that. When you reach that point that it gets too long, is there something that you say?
You start encouraging them to maybe go out and spread your wings again and see if you can fly.
You know.
Because you've been here healing for a while.
Look at the time. You've been here quite a while.
Is it 3 months o'clock already? Get out. And that's kind of where these parents were. And they said, hey, we even offered him money. We'll help you find a place. And he just wouldn't do it. Really strange.
Really strange.
And kind of embarrassing.
A bit.
Even when he got the judge's decision, he... absolutely refused to accept it, said he's going to appeal, and he's not going to leave.
Nice.
And he said, it seems like, I should be provided with, 30 days or so at least to have to vacate the premises. If that's not the case,
He does have a point there. I mean, you can't be expected just to move out.
No, I mean, not in a day or two.
You
got to
get yourself together.
Right.
Get your things
organized. You have to get your mind right.
Yeah.
And if it takes you 30 days to get your mind right after a court has told you to get out of your parents' basement, I think there's some other issues.
Some problems that's there. Very possible.
Yeah.
Very possible.
So I'd like to know what the cutoff is, because things have changed.
No question.
Things have changed a lot.
No question about that.
It used
to
be 18. We'll see you later.
Yeah.
Bye-bye now.
Yeah.
And it was a tough love thing. And if you didn't want to get out, we're going to encourage you and maybe... force the issue a little bit, because it's for your benefit to get out and do your own thing.
I mean, I'm trying to remember how old I was back in 1901.
How long were you out of the house by 1901?
I mean, we had already already planted the fields.
You're working on your third family by then.
Yeah. I remember being home and thinking, I've been here enough.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's time for.
I think I was a night. I was 19 when that happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was 19,
and amazingly, my mother, who I loved, and I know she loved me, didn't stop me.
That's amazing.
I know. What are you laughing at?
I mean, if you ran that same theory past your wife right now, I'm guessing she wouldn't stop you either.
That's absolutely true.
After last night. Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
888-727 Beck. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn this week. Talking about this story where a 30-year-old had to be taken to court by his parents to get him out of their house.
Amazing.
Now, I've seen studies where it's not unusual anymore. I don't remember the exact statistics, so I'm not going to try to cite it. But it was their point was things have really changed in America. It used to be, you know, you're 18, you go. But now, it's not unusual for people in their 30s, sometimes even their mid-30s, to still be living in their parents' home. That seems a little excessive to me. It seems a lot excessive to me. And this particular guy, who was finally booted out by a judge, was 30 years old and had no intention of leaving. You got no shame. If you're willing to go to court against your parents and say, nope, I'm not leaving your house. You're going to have to continue to take care of me. That takes a lot of giblets, I think, and a lack of shame of any kind. And there's another issue in our society. A lot of people have no shame anymore. They're not concerned about that. It doesn't embarrass them. How is that possible?
That's true. I don't know.
I'd be humiliated if I was 30 and living with my parents. Humiliated. Again, I don't know how you date under those circumstances because can't be that attractive to a potential partner.
Right.
Yeah, I live with my mom and dad. Yeah. Watch Star Trek most of the, you know, Star Trek reruns a lot of the day.
If you come over and you say, hey, come on over, we'll hang out.
You know,
we'll just hang out, we'll talk, we'll watch a little Netflix. And
you can watch Netflix while I go do my paper route. I got a part-time thing. I got a little paper route that I do.
And
you know, dude, you're 32.
When we're halfway through the show, you guys want some popcorn? No, Mom, we're fine.
Strange. It's a weird world that has changed a lot. Steven in California, you're on the Glenn Beck program with Pat and Jeffy. Steven?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Through the miracle of the telephone, we can.
Dude, God bless them. Okay, yeah. So I think that people are staying with their parents so long because, you know, parents are really trying to get. My goal as a parent, and I only have a 4 and a 2-year-old, but starting now, I'm going to do everything I can to make their lives miserable so they want to leave. that is my goal as a parent.
That's not a bad goal.
It's a good goal, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, right?
I don't know if you want to start at 4 years old, but, you know, maybe at 14.
What is the appropriate time to start with that?
Hey, the die have been cast. You know, that's already happening. Hey, can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
So I drove by a Starbucks that had a Chipotle next door yesterday, and I seriously laughed for like 5 minutes because they are have public restrooms. And you know that restroom is going to get blown up.
Really? So it is becoming a problem, you think? It has to, right? Appreciate the call, Steven.
I hope so.
It has to.
I hope so.
It has to be a problem for Starbucks. Because if you've now created a place where the homeless can come in and sit down, maybe just relax for a while in a pleasant environment, you got access to the restroom, what more do you need? I mean, of course it's going to become a homeless camp.
Yeah, or you just, you know, bring in something. Starbucks is a little bit nicer than the Burger King down the street. So you grab some Burger King and stop into Starbucks to eat it.
Yeah, why not?
I know.
Why not? If you don't have to buy anything, and they made that clear, you don't. So
what do you think the appropriate age is, though, to make their lives miserable? I agree with you that four, maybe not four.
Yeah, maybe not four.
you know,
yeah, it's toward the end of the senior year, I think.
Oh, maybe even a little older than that, 16, 17-ish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in your home, it had to be miserable the whole time, right?
What do you mean?
Just by accident, you made their lives.
What? I don't misunderstand about you.
Yeah, I'll explain it to you later. Nikki in North Carolina, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, Pat and Jeffy.
Hey.
So I am the youngest of four, but when I was 18, I graduated high school, and I went to work like my butt off that summer and left the second I could to go to college. But I have a brother who lived at home until he was 28, got married, then got divorced, and moved back in with my parents and never left. And now both of my parents have passed. And he can't function in society on his own. Like, he has no clue how to function as a human being and an adult.
Wow, that's
sad. You have
to
set them up. And you have to kick them out. You have to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they will end up dependent on everybody in society when you're gone as a person. I mean,
no doubt.
It's sad. It's terrible.
Were your parents okay with him being there at 28?
And longer.
Yes, they were fine. And then when he got divorced, he moved back, and my mom babied the heck out of him.
And they still hadn't had enough?
No. Wow. No, and it was a terrible thing. My dad had cancer for a long time. He was sick for 13 years with cancer. And you would think that my brother helped, but he really didn't help a whole lot. My sister was the one that helped my mom take care of my dad, even though she didn't live with them. And then when dad passed, mom had to have him home there because at least she wasn't alone. So I got that.
Yeah.
But still, I was like, he doesn't know how to.
Yeah, you don't learn that life skill. So yeah,
no, he's 62 years old and doesn't know how to live on his own.
It's a sad story.
That is a sad story.
Thanks, Nikki. And that's another reason why you want to get him out. I mean, you're not kicking him out because you're mean and you don't love him. You're kicking him out because you do love them and you want them to experience life.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah,
we'll go with that.
We'll go with that. Jeff in Pennsylvania, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Pat and Jeffy,
hey.
Such a pleasure to talk to you guys.
You too.
Pat, I remember meeting you in King of Prussia for a book signing. That was awesome.
Oh, wow. That was a while ago.
But
were you the guy that was just like about halfway back?
Yeah, you had that shirt on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we remember.
Yeah, that was early, man.
I clearly remember.
Now, this was for Agenda 21, so years ago. But
okay.
Anyway, so I'm a little unconventional. I'm a stay-at-home father, and I got a 9-month-old, a 2-year-old, and a 4-year-old.
Wow, you're busy.
And I'm already ready for them to go to kindergarten. Out of here. So I'm 34, and I went to Penn State. And after graduation, I got a job at a healthcare system in their marketing department. And it went great until I got canned. And then that was in 2008, and got moved back in with my mom. And about 3 months, I ended up finding a girl, and we moved in together out in Philadelphia, and I just could not wait to get out of that house.
Yeah.
Moment I stepped foot in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, dare I say, I mean, I don't know if it was just me personally, but why is it that I feel it's more of like a conservative liberal thing where it's like, I couldn't wait to get out of there. And I had some dark thoughts of going back and living in with my mom the moment I had to. And I needed to get out of there. But I don't understand this mentality of other young guys.
I don't either.
Girls that don't want to get out. And they're okay with just sticking around.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Jeff.
And maybe
we're just my premature hang up elation there. We're just not wired that way, that we want to live with our parents under their roof. For, you know, our adult life? No, we're wired that we want to go out and experience it ourselves and create our own thing and start our own families.
Supposed to.
Yeah. And it's just the natural way of things. 888-727-BECK. Larry in Florida. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hi.
Hey.
I'll get right to the point.
Okay.
The reason they can't get rid of them kids nowadays is because they don't make them do nothing. They won't even empty the trash, for God's sake. Listen, when I went to work at 15 years old, it's a part-time job because I still went to school.
Yeah.
I started paying room and board. I was washing cars at a Chevrolet garage, and they made
there
it.
There you go.
Larry, things have changed a lot.
Much, but
Yep.
That at least I learned to support myself.
Exactly.
And I knew I had responsibilities. I had to get up in the morning, go to the job, and then go
appreciate the call, man. Thank you.
Amen.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
It's Pat and Jeffrey for Glenn this week. 888-727-BECK. We've been talking about this really interesting situation of a couple of parents, mom and dad, trying to get their son, a 30-year-old son, out of their house. And he refused, so they took him to court and had him evicted through a judge in upstate New York.
And he refused that.
And he refused that.
Right.
And yeah, he's going to appeal.
It certainly struck a chord, at least with me, because I don't understand it. And I know that we're trying to work our way through it and, you know, decide that maybe it's a different mindset, you mm-hmm. know, a different time, that whole thing. But, I mean, I just remember I grew up in Michigan, and I wanted to get out of there almost my whole life. And mm-hmm. when I had the opportunity to save enough money to get a bus ticket out of Michigan, I took it. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that's just the way it is.
It is something because normally it's not going to be in every.
I didn't
case.
Have any bank account. But, I didn't have.
Well, that's not the issue though. Normally, something clicks inside of you, and you want to become independent. You want to do your own thing. You want to have your own life. You don't want your parents telling you what to do every right. minute of the day. You want to go when you please, come back when you want. Don't come back if you
Thank
don't want.
You.
And yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is. And if you don't have a lot of money, you try to make do.
You have to.
You eat top ramen every night.
In my case,
I loved Franco-American spaghetti in a can. That's what I ate.
I ate the store brand shells and cheddar mac and cheese. That was
the Velveeta
so good.
Or the
powdered cheese. The store brand.
Yeah, that's not good.
All right. That was
50
at that
cents
time,
a box or something. 25 cents a box,
you know,
maybe.
You
then.
Know, if they end up, at that time I was working part-time at the grocery store, there were a lot of dented boxes.
And the dented ones, they didn't sell.
No, they're cheaper.
Out in the aisle.
They're cheaper. You get those for 25.
Quite a bit cheaper?
You get
cheaper?
Those for a quarter.
You probably took cases of stuff from
no,
the grocery
no,
store.
No, Pat.
No.
How
no.
Dare you.
Not as far as we know, anyway, right?
Not until I got a car. Anyway, mm-hmm. no, but I mean, those you do what you have to do. I could remember thinking,
right.
I can't stomach another one of these shells and cheddar boxes, but I'm hungry, and that's what I got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you struggle, though. I mean, you struggle, and it's hard. Life is hard. I remember my last winter in Montana. I was living in Billings at the time, the largest city in Montana.
Hey, don't talk to me like I don't know.
I
that.
Thought I'd
know.
Made it, man, because
okay,
I'm
no
in
doubt.
Billings now. And there was a two-week period of time where the high temperature for the day didn't exceed 19 below. And the block of my car froze.
Nice.
And so I couldn't start
couldn't
it.
Drive it.
And if you tried to start it,
yeah, you break it. The whole thing goes.
You'll ruin your car. Yeah. And so it just sat there. And I, you know, you find ways around
yes,
stuff.
Yes, you do.
I actually had to walk to work every day for a couple of weeks.
Freeze your buns off, man.
Or get a ride from a friend if they had time or whatever. But you make do. And
yes,
you do the things you have to do. And it actually teaches us how to overcome adversity. Isn't that sort of important? Because we're going
to
have adversity.
It's supposed to. I mean, I remember when I first landed in Florida, not having a car and walking everywhere, and you hope to get a ride some days, and people would get mad at you some days because mm-hmm. you didn't ask them for a ride because you felt bad, you just walked, mm-hmm. and I just remember thinking, you know, I'll save enough to get a car,
mm-hmm.
and when I felt it was the end of the world happy when I got that first car, man. That $80 Oldsmobile.
$80, man.
80
those
bucks.
Were the days.
I know. You couldn't find those anymore.
My first car was in like a 10-year-old LTD, and it cost me $50.
Right. Well, this car, I remember the guy selling it to me. It was supposed to be more than 80, and I was giving him $20 a week until it got to like $150 or $200.
And that was probably tough to come up with.
And And after I reached 80, he just said, just come and get the car. Just get it out of
so
my
yard. So you sort of had your car on layaway.
Just get it out of
That's
the
great.
Yard. Just come and get it out of the yard.
It's like you're buying it at Kmart. Kim in Oklahoma, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to add a comment about the kid thing.
Yeah.
Me and my husband were both veterans, so kind of strict, me some more than him. But when we started having kids, we had three. They knew the entire time growing up, and when they graduated, they had three choices. Military, go to college, or out you go.
either way, they're out of the house. Yeah.
Either way, they're out. And you know, I have one that left, one that went to college, and now one just graduated, and he's not making up his mind just yet, but he's got a time limit. They all did. You've got this much time, and then out you go. So
if they don't have a plan by the time they're 18, they're gone anyway, right? And they have to figure it out. Or would you allow them some leeway to stay with
you? Sounds like she's allowing this last one a little leeway.
Uh-huh. Is there a little leeway there?
No. Because what happens is, you know, okay, you decide you want to go to college. You have until school starts. You decide you want to go in the military. Sometimes you get a little extra time before you ship out.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to just move out, then we'll give you a little bit of time. I mean, I'm not talking years and years. You got like 6 months to find some place to go and then get yourself there. And
that's great, though. I mean, yeah.
I know.
Thanks, Kim. It's hard to do that.
A little bit of tough love.
It's hard, especially with the new mindset in our society that everybody's got to be taken care of and pampered. And so you kind of maybe even buy into that.
You do.
A little bit.
Absolutely you do. Absolutely.
So it's really hard to stick to that. Like at 18, that's our rule. See ya. And then, well, I've got nowhere to go. What am I supposed to do? Am I going to live in a cardboard box? I don't know. It's up to you. Make it work.
I'll tell you what.
You've known this your whole life, that this was your deadline.
Anyway, I spent a small fortune on those camping gear in the garage. You can have the one that says your name on it.
It's hard. That's hard to do. It really is. But when you stick to it, I think it benefits everybody in the long run. David in Utah, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Yeah. How you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, my son, a couple years ago, he's 16 now. He told me, I'm going to live here forever. I said, that's fine. I got 2.5 acres. I'm going, for your 18th birthday, I'm going to buy you a tent. I'm going to write studio apartment on the box.
There you go.
I'm going to buy you a cot, but write master bedroom on the box.
I like it.
Get you a canteen, right? Kitchen/shower.
But you did buy a big enough box that it did have a master bedroom in it, huh?
Right.
I mean, that's, you got a couple plus. Acres. What happens when he backs in a trailer?
Right?
I know.
That's my daughter's mindset. I asked her, what kind of car do you want? She goes, well, I'm not really sure yet, but I think I better find something big enough that I could live in just in case.
Wow. Wow.
She has some great life goals, right?
Right. That's a good life goal. Mm-hmm. I asked my daughter that. She goes, I don't need one Uber.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it. 888-727-BECK. But again, it's hard to stick to those standards when the time comes. Because then you're like,
right.
You're feeling guilty.
You're eye to eye.
What if something happens to
him? I know. You're eye to eye. You're sipping them out there.
And you love them. And, but part of love is, you know, making tough decisions on their behalf.
I mean, that's part of being the parent, though.
Yeah, right. Connie in Alabama, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hi. I'm listening to y'all and thinking back with my boys. the motto for me is, get them to hate you, they'll leave and never come back home.
Has that worked out? Did it work out for you?
It has worked out. But you know, one's married, one's put himself through college after we paid a little bit, but it has worked.
He didn't hate
you
that much.
But you know what? It's going to make them what they are in the future.
Exactly.
Just like you too. You may not be where you are today because you didn't go through what you went through.
Oh, yeah. I don't think we would be.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100% agree with that.
Kids hate their parents. You know, my job wasn't to be their friend. My job was to be their parent.
Exactly.
I did my job, and they moved on, and they have a lot of people we know that kids are coming back or never left.
Right.
And you tell them, get them to hate you. They'll leave and never come back.
Thanks, Scotty. Scott in Pennsylvania, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hey guys.
Hey.
I'm like most parents. I think we want better for our kids than what we had when we were growing up. And
sure. I don't know that that's possible anymore.
My parents both died when I was young, so I lived with my sister. So I couldn't wait to get out. As soon as I was 18, I was out, and I moved to Florida and had to do everything on my own.
There you go.
Paid for my own school, paid for my own car. Mm-hmm. I actually had to ride a bike to work until I could afford the car. So,
right. I mean, that's you do what you have to do.
Yep.
Right. And I have two kids, one in college right now. I'll let him stay for the 4 years because I'm helping pay for the school. And if he moves out and I'm paying for the school, there's no guarantee he's going to go to school.
Yeah.
So I know if he's under my roof, he's going to school and he's getting the education. But if he wants to get like a master's or anything after the 4 years, that's on him.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it. It's interesting because paying for school and going to school at the same time, that's not a thing anymore.
No, it is not. We were just talking about that the other day.
Yeah.
No, it is not.
That is, the mindset is higher education is owed to them.
Right.
And they should be able to go to whatever college they want without any repercussions
without
for
question.
Their future. And I don't want any college debt anymore. Sorry, that's not how it works. Now, you got a lot of options. You could try to work for a scholarship. You could get a loan. You can get assistance of some sort. You can work your way through college. You can go to a less expensive college. Go to a community college. Go to a trade school. There's so many options.
Yes, there are.
But not to this generation. They believe they have a Harvard education come to them, and it shouldn't cause any debt once they're done. Well, it doesn't work that way. But the Democrats, this is interesting because progressivism has helped us. Yeah, it's helped ruin our society. Because they have reinforced with the kids that you shouldn't have to have any debt for going to college.
I mean, that's what they're trying to do in New York as we
that
speak,
should be
right?
Free. That should be free.
Cuomo's trying to say, hey, if you live in New York, you go to college for free.
Yeah.
Period. No matter who you are.
Should be. And of course, that's not free. Everybody,
no, of course
somebody
not.
Else, society is paying for it for you. The taxpayers are paying it for you. And it's well, we're reaping what we've sown, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
888-727-BECK. More Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program coming up.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Yeah, we should probably make clear there. Obviously, some exceptions to this.
Of course, there's exceptions.
Leaving home rule. Now we have been sparked into this discussion by a 30-year-old who was taken to court by his parents to get him out of the house. Judge ruled in their favor, ordered him to leave. Kid's like, well, no, I can't. So he's appealing it. I mean, ridiculous. And so we're talking about when the appropriate time for your kids to go and not necessarily come back except for a visit. What is
right.
that? Where is that cutoff?
Right.
And there's exceptions to every rule. You know, there's certain circumstances in life that warrant you altering your rules a little bit. Or, you know, maybe somebody has a disability or a handicap of some kind. Or
the parent is sick and needs to help. And
extenuating
care,
circumstances.
Yes, there's always something.
Always some
but
exception the to
the generic
rule.
Amount of
but if you're healthy,
percentage of children.
If you got a healthy kid
yes,
that just won't leave.
That's a problem.
That's not good for anybody.
No, it's not good for anyone.
It's not good for society, I don't think. Because we are wired a certain way to become independent, start our own family, and so on. And that's how you propagate society. But things have changed in the last 20 or 30 years. The mindset has changed and kids aren't prepared anymore to face adversity. So what are they going to do when they encounter it? Oh, I'm going home and my parents will help me take care of it. They'll take care of me. Okay. Well, if there's something really extraordinary, yeah, but there's gotta be a time limit on that, right? You're not still going to be here when you're 30.
And some of the problem, right, is that when you say the kids aren't prepared to go out on their own, I mean, that has a lot to do with us just dropping them off at school and saying, take care of our kids, which we've done for 40 or 50 years now.
Yes.
Just we gave it back to this, we gave it to the school system and said, here, you raise our kids.
And we don't know what they've been taught at school in a lot of cases, because people just don't ask.
You
just
How was your assume, day? Okay. You,
they're learning reading, writing, arithmetic. Yeah. Well, that's not the case in schools anymore either.
I went and saw, they got an award last week. Got a little piece of paper that said they got B pluses straight through, so we're good.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to this, and we probably need to be more involved than sometimes we are in their lives help them get prepared.
No question.
To meet the rigors of
we're
what faces.
We're all guilty of that.
Yeah. Lauren in New York, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Yes, good morning, guys.
Hey.
I actually live up here in upstate New York, not too far away from where this all happened, but I'm still confused. Why in the world somebody would want to still live with their parents at
work? I don't know. Because, yeah, you're right. It's a natural, we've been discussing, it's a natural instinct.
It was supposed to be, anyway.
Yeah, to just want to be independent. Thanks, Lauren. Appreciate it. 888-727 Beck.
And maybe it is still a natural instinct. It's just that we have developed people that don't know how to react to it. So the natural instinct is, boy, I want to get out, but I don't know how to do it.
And a lot of kids now think, well, I want to get out, but I'm not living in a little apartment. I want a house like this.
Right.
Yeah, it's not coming for a while.
It doesn't work that way.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Glenn's on vacation this week. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy. By the way, you can join me for my own show immediately following this one every weekday, noon Eastern.
Wow.
And thank you for
every time Pat says, join me on my own show, you
right,
hear
then
that.
You hear that particular sound. Like, which means that at noon Eastern, it's Pat Gray Unleashed on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. This summer, we're opening up the studios here, as we have done the last quite a few summers, to share the Mercury One collection. We have everything from Hollywood and pop culture to torture items a vampire hunting kit to items that highlight how citizens have exercised their rights throughout history. Some for good and some maybe for not so good. And there's so many historic, truly American iconic things to look at and see and hear the stories about. It's really
Can't
fun.
Wait.
Really fun. I hope you'll, if you're not in the DFW area, I hope you'll book the weekend to be here. It's June 15th and 16th.
And 17th.
And 17th.
Yes, that,
so it's the 14th, 15th, 16th, right? Yeah, it's the 14th.
15th, 16th, 17th, according to this paperwork right here.
15th, 16th, 17th. That's Friday, Saturday,
I don't
know to the Sunday.
Calendar, but we can jump ahead to my calendar. And that's right. 15th, 16th, 17th. 17th is Father's Day. You know your father wants more than a tie. So just give him the.
What a great gift that would be to come down here and.
Right.
And tour the museum. Maybe get a tour from Glenn. Stu or Jeffy.
I mean, if you're going to want a special Father's Day, you're going to want the tour from me.
Obviously. Yeah, I mean,
what does Glenn know?
It's amazing what he knows about these items.
I know it is.
And you'll hear all about it. I'm actually, this is the week I'm on vacation, so I will not be leading a tour.
But you can fly back in or whatever.
But I'd love to, but I can't.
We have planes that fly all over the world in hours.
That is true, but no planes come back from where I'll be to here. I don't know. That weekend. Yeah, not that weekend. Anyway, 888-727 Beck. We've been talking about this 30-year-old who was booted out of his parents' house by court order.
But he hasn't left yet, even.
He hasn't left yet.
Yeah, he's fighting that.
Now, he was asked to leave. The parents actually drew up eviction notices that he ignored. They offered him money. We'll help you pay for your first month or whatever. Amazing. But please go get a job and get out. Go get a job. That's what you need to do. And he won't.
Amazing.
And
so many places that you can get jobs at. Man, people are there's so many jobs out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Where you can. And I know look, you're not going to get a job right away. Unless you're one of the fortunate ones, where you can move into your parent a house similar to what you're living in with your parents.
That's part of the problem, is that this generation, a lot of them, seem to feel like they're entitled to start where the parents end up.
But we didn't start there.
No, we did not start there. No, we did not.
Far cry from it, by the way. Far cry.
Yes.
Far cry. Yes. I mean, I remember, you know.
There were some tough times.
I remember milk crates as its tables. And, you know, being thankful that that's what we had.
Yes.
I mean, amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you don't make a lot of money at first. You struggle at first. But the mindset is, I guess, now you shouldn't have to do any of that. You should just have luxury from the minute you leave your parents' home. And you live in a beautiful mansion. Right. Like Tom and his supermodel wife.
Right, right. And then that's kind of like it leads you back into the Instagram world, right? Mm-hmm. Everything and Facebook and Twitter and all of social media and the internet of world where everything is fine. Everything is beautiful. And we are all living and able to go to the south of France whenever we want.
And we've just babied and pampered our kids for so long now. And then they've been babied and pampered at school with dumbed down curriculum and we've changed the grading system so that nobody fails.
Right,
everybody
right.
succeeds. Everybody gets a participation trophy. You all get the game ball.
Nobody loses.
Right. So
don't you strive to be better. You're fine just the way you are.
We've bitten this off. Now we have to chew it. We created this mess. We're reaping what we've sown. And I think that's in large part what's happening. And then you have a guy like this who's 30 years old and apparently has no shame. He's not even embarrassed.
Right.
Your parents took you to court to evict you and you're still fighting and you're going to appeal and you're not embarrassed by that?
I mean, we should try to get a hold of him and see if we can make him embarrassed.
We should. I bet he'd be happy to talk to us.
I bet he would too. I bet he would too. He cannot be ashamed of it. Because he'd be like, look, yeah, I'm...
Yeah, my parents...
They don't use it down here anyway. I don't know why they're mad that I'm living here.
888-727 Beck, Josh in Oklahoma. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, Pat. Hey, Jeff. I'm a huge fan, by the way. I listen every day to you guys on Unleashed. So
thank you. Thank you.
Shout out to that program. I've got a friend in Billings, Montana. He lives in his parents' basement, and he will be 41 years old this year.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. 41? Yeah.
Is Billings still the largest city in Montana?
Yes, even more so than it used to be.
Let me be clear that we're talking about the same Billings.
Yeah. This guy is 41, lives in his parents' basement. Does he not have a job, or what's going on in his life?
Oh, no. He originally moved out and got into financial trouble, so... He brought himself back.
Okay.
You know, the parents were going to take care of him just like they do.
Okay.
However, he got really, really comfortable, and now he's very financially stable. In fact, for his 40th birthday, he flew himself over to Europe for 2 weeks. He flies himself over to go to premier soccer games. He loves that stuff.
Wow.
He drives a very nice car. He's doing quite well, but he is he's not planning on going anywhere. That's for sure.
And are the parents okay with that, or would they like him to leave?
I think they're frustrated, but they have accepted it at this point.
Because he's 41. They must be in their 60s, and they're still supporting their son at home.
Well, that's he's providing, right? I mean, if he's incredible. Making some money, he's got to be able. He's got to be providing.
Do you
a little
know
bit,
that?
Right?
Is he paying rent or anything?
He pays half of the bills.
Oh, okay. All right, well, even at least you got that much going for you.
I mean,
that's
even pushing it.
What about a family?
For everything.
Does he have no interest in a family? And
I'm not sure that that's going to be in the cards for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he may be interested, but as you were talking about earlier, kind of difficult to bring someone back to your place when it's your
parents. When it's your parents' basement. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Josh. Not the best way to impress your date, maybe.
Plus, if he's in his 40s, and you're right, the folks have got to be, you know, 60s. Up there, right? So, you know, at some point, you're like, come on over and we'll watch some TV. I'll just roll mom into the bedroom and we'll be okay. I mean, don't worry. She doesn't come out often.
Susan in Florida, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call.
Mm-hmm. This is
my brother.
Mm-hmm.
my brother is almost 60. It ends up good. The story ends up good. But
okay.
He was living at my parents' home till he was over 30, and they finally sold their house.
To get him out?
Well, I think they were ready to sell their house, but that's what, you know, catapulted him out of the house.
But
yeah.
He cared so much about just living and milking the system that he didn't think about buying the house?
Oh, he didn't have that kind of money.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So once they sold the house and he got out, he got back up on his feet eventually, apparently?
No. It was a sad story. He sank into, you know, addictions, and it wasn't going well, but he's much better now. He's, you know, on a clean and sober path, and he doesn't have a successful career. I mean, nothing like that ever happened, but he helps people. I mean, he's the kindest heart. He lives on his own. Well, he actually rents a house from me. But, you know, he's independent, and he's a contributing member of society. He helps old people. He's got a passion for old people. And, you know, my parents both passed away, and he did come back for 3 years after my mother had died, but he wasn't helping. He was just another burden at that time, but things all worked out.
So, Susan, let me ask you a question. If he, and this is just a hypothetical question, I'm sure it will never happen. If he decided that he didn't want to pay you rent anymore in the house that you were renting to him, would you be able to evict him?
I don't think I would. But, yeah, right. I would. He signed a lease and everything. If he was only unable to pay because of, you know, illness or something like that, I mean,
of course,
I would continue to take care of him.
Right.
But he's doing everything he can. I mean, he totally regrets those years of the cloud that he was in. But and he's of all, there are four brothers and a sister. He's my favorite. He's the kindest heart. He is, you know, he's come a long way, but he had to go through a really hard path to get there.
Mm.
And of course, my parents coddled him. You know, and
yeah,
this is 30 years ago. This is 30 years ago. It's not just this generation.
It was probably
a
little more unusual then, though, wasn't it?
I mean, it was looked at differently for sure.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Susan.
When you look at extended families living with children and grandchildren, I mean, I think it happens more nowadays. It used to happen 100 years ago. It used to happen 100 years ago. Grandparents always lived with their, you know, children and their grandchildren because they were old and they couldn't work anymore.
Right.
There was no social security system. And
yeah. On the back end of life, that was not unusual. Yeah. Appreciate it. Thanks, Susan. When you're getting old, yes, then, you know, the kids take care of the parents like the parents took care of the kids when they were young. So that makes total sense. But that doesn't, now that is not happening as much.
Right.
And the opposite is.
Right.
888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn, who's on vacation this week. We're hearing more and more about these sonic attacks. Another one that we had. Where were they happening? Cuba, right? Our diplomats in Cuba subject to them.
They had to come home because
of it.
Yeah.
Now there's been a sonic attack on the American consulate in China, apparently. And a staffer has suffered a brain injury as a result.
Wow.
So they're looking into that to see what's going on. We've been talking about this amazing story of a 30-year-old lived with his parents. They decided, okay, it's time for you to leave. He said no. So they went to a lawyer, actually had eviction notices written up, several of them, which he ignored.
Think of that.
Not leaving.
Your parents have to write up an eviction notice to get rid of you.
And you're still not embarrassed.
Wow. Right.
You're still okay with it.
And then you're okay to go to court.
So they took him to court.
In front of a judge.
Judge ruled, okay, get out of their house. He still hasn't. He's appealing.
Wow.
Really something.
I mean, they're going to have to sell. Right? They're going to have to be like the lady that just called.
Sell the house to get him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. 888-727-BECK. Dakota in Texas. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing good.
First, I wanted to say I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller. I mean, I love y'all's show.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, the story is absolutely insane. I mean, I turned 18. I'm only 26 now, so I don't have years and years of experience. But, I mean, you know, my dad asked me to leave the house when I turned 18. And he offered me, like this guy's parents did, he offered me money. I mean, he paid my rent. He bought me groceries, all that stuff. And here's the thing. I squandered all of that. I mean, I took full advantage of it, became addicted to drugs, dropped out of college. And when that happened, my dad said, you know what? That didn't work. You're on your own. You're on your complete and total own. And I went into some really dark times. But because of that, and me and my dad are still very close today. He's forgiven me for what I did. But he, because of that today, because of what he did, because of him dropping me, and saying, you know what, you need to learn how to do this on your own because I can't help you. I'm a better man for it now. I have a successful career. I have a loving wife, a house. I mean, everything's working out.
And good for you.
Would not have if he had continued to baby and coddle me.
Have you talked with your dad about how tough that was to just say, nope, that didn't work, so no more. Good luck. That's not easy to do.
You aren't kidding.
When you see your son in a spiral like you apparently were in, that could be really ugly.
He told me it's the hardest thing he ever had to do was watch from a distance as I just continued to what seemed to just throw my entire life away. And it wasn't until, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, but it wasn't until I found Christ that I actually...
Yeah, I don't know if you're allowed to talk about it on this show either.
No, there's a separation of church and radio.
Yeah,
separation of church and radio laws.
You gotta be careful.
In the Constitution. So,
yeah.
So what exactly happened when he cut you off and you were on your own and you didn't have any money and where did you live? Were you able to continue to at least stay in wherever it was you were living?
Well, to be honest, I turned the apartment that I was living into a drug house where we sold drugs.
Well, that's one way to go.
It's an entrepreneurial way.
It led to me becoming an extreme methamphetamine addict.
Homeless,
living on the streets.
Really?
And all along, my dad would call me and talk to me, and he'd say, "I'm always here for you emotionally, but I'll never give you another penny.
Wow.
Not until you get your stuff together." And to this day, he's very proud. I mean, he just went to my wife's graduation. She graduated college, and you know, he's extremely proud of where I've come now. And I actually do some work with a local rehab here.
This is a great
faith-based rehab in town. So.
Well, we're proud of you too.
No kidding.
Way to go, Dakota. Not everybody pulls out of that, and especially not this quickly. Appreciate the call. Thanks. I don't know if I'm strong enough to do that.
Wow. I mean, I was just thinking about that.
Don't know.
His dad's
amazing.
A hero.
Because virtually almost impossible.
Yes.
John in Montana, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, Pat.
Hey.
I've got my girlfriend lives with me, and so does her son. Her son is 20 years old, high school dropout.
Oh, boy.
Does not have a job, has no intention of moving out. I found him a job. Doing a laborer for a contracting company.
Yeah,
he would be making Davis Bacon wages working for the state, you know, doing state jobs.
Yeah.
And it was on the road. He'd be on the road 5 days a week, and they put him up in a motel. They pay for all of his expenses. His grandfather told him not to take it because he would be traveling.
Oh, my gosh.
I cannot even get this kid to pick up dog poop. And I'll tell you what, the next person that says to me marijuana does not screw a person up, all I do is point to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because look what it did. It took every bit of ambition out of this kid that he would ever have.
Really sad.
Wow.
And I keep telling my girlfriend, you know, he's going to be living with us when he's 40 years old. He's going to be living in the basement. She says, no, he won't. He'll be out by then. He'll be motivated. And I just proved me wrong, but I don't want to wait another 20 years to be proved wrong.
Yeah, definitely. Where in Montana do you live?
It's in the Billings area. It's not actually Billings. It's in the Billings area. I don't want to say because it's a smaller town.
Yeah,
right. I got
okay.
You.
You know, so are there any, like, can you get him into rehab in the area?
I don't know that he's even doing marijuana anymore. My girlfriend tells me that he's not. There are never any drugs in the house because I, too, have a son who actually is motivated. He's 15, and he's already working out at the country club.
Wow.
You know, I mean, my wife, my ex-wife and I, we do have a very strong work ethic. We, you know, we were both raised that way, and my son loves money, so.
Capitalism can be a really good motivator.
Yes,
really good. All right.
It is.
It's, yeah.
And this... His mom even buys him his cigarettes, his 20-year-old.
Jeez. Oh, man.
I was just wondering, maybe I could move in, stop by, say hello for a little while, you know, hang out.
Well, you were just talking about maybe moving to the Billings area.
I was.
Were
you? The greater Billings area?
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's the largest,
you know,
largest
city in Montana. It's exactly right. Thanks, John. 888-727-BACK.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat and Jeffy. 888-727-BECK. That Solo Star Wars story opens on Friday. And they're expecting the lowest opening of all the Star Wars movies, which wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, me either.
And people are speculating that it's Star Wars burnout. It's just bad movie burnout. We don't want to see... I mean, they've been substandard movies, I think, as a rule. Maybe it's just me, but I did not like... And I thought I did at first, but then I saw it again at home. And I thought, how did I like this at first? This sucks. This is, but you know, you give it so much slack because it's Star Wars, and I've been such a big fan since it came out that, you know, you just want to love it. You want to. And so they've got that goodwill baked into the franchise, and then they disappoint us almost every time. But you're not that big a fan,
no,
are you?
No,
you're not
really
a big Star Wars fan. You won't be going to this Solo.
You know, if Max wants to go, he seems to like the stupid shows. I can't take it.
Why?
Because
you can't take Star Wars
so much. I've got
it so much. So much what?
It's just so much of nothing. They're just not good. I went back. I even went back.
The original three are great.
Okay,
they're great.
Are they?
Yes, I think so.
Are they?
I love them
because I went back and watched them again because we had to watch everything, all the movies in order. Heaven forbid we watch them out of order. And then you get to the originals, mm-hmm. and you think, okay, at least I remember this in my head as being good, and I can make it through this one. They aren't that good either.
No, I love them. I love them. You'll never convince me the first three aren't good, because they are.
And I'm going to take a wrath from people, because the Star
well,
Wars
are,
lovers.
Because you're an idiot.
and I know that. I'm fine. I don't hate them.
Yeah.
I'm all, you know, it's fine.
You're just not that into it.
Right.
Yeah, it's fine. You know, you have the right to be wrong. This is America. just to bring you up to speed on a couple of other things, Donald Trump and Fox News Spygate situation heating up. The president's been tweeting about this Spygate scenario. That's the biggest scandal in American history. I don't know if they have an ounce of evidence of it, if there's any kind of proof.
There's a guy that said so.
But
Shut
somebody
up.
Is saying so.
Okay. You mean they don't have proof? A guy said so.
Yes. Yes. And the president tweeted about
Thank
it.
Thank you.
So it's got to be true. And it was on Fox and Friends. So it's like triply true now.
Thank you.
Also, of concern is yet another Ebola outbreak.
I know,
in
time.
Africa. Pretty
big
bad
time.
One.
Yeah.
And they say that superstition in the Democratic Republic of Congo is causing them some pretty serious trouble. Some people are refusing medical care, and instead they turn to preachers and prayer to chase away the threat, because they think it's coming from some kind of curse.
Yeah, and now it's also moved into a big metropolitan area that makes it, you know, obviously grow faster when the sickness starts spreading.
Yeah,
so they're really concerned about, because it's usually they felt pretty comfortable as comfortable as you can feel with it because it's in the outskirts and in the in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But and once it hits the metropolitan areas, it could spread big time. And there's also concern, if that wasn't enough for you, there's also a big concern now of yellow fever coming from South America and Brazil. And so
don't worry about it.
Nah, you've been, I mean, everyone has been vaccinated, right? Wait.
Yellow fever vaccination? I didn't even know there was one.
I don't know that there is.
I don't think I'm up to speed on my yellow fever vaccinations.
Well, man, you need to get that. You need to take that taken care of.
You know what? Maybe you tie this into what we've been talking about for the last hour or so. The 30-year-old who won't leave his house. Maybe the parents tell this guy, "We've been exposed to Ebola.
You have to leave.
We got
to
better get out for your own safety
right now." Right now, put a mask on. Isn't wearing a mask worth getting rid of the 30-year-old?
5 minutes ago, I was just bleeding out my eyes. Now, I wiped it all off.
That's a tremendous idea.
You don't want to be anywhere near this.
No.
You don't want none of this. So,
unless the kid says, "I don't care."
This guy might. I don't know. Michael in Tennessee, you're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
Hello.
Hey.
After graduation, my father walked up to me, put his arm around me, said, "Son, I'm proud of you. I love you. You got 6 months to get out of my house."
He gave you six whole months.
6 whole months.
Yeah.
3 months, I found a job, moved 400 miles away, and started my life. When I moved to Tennessee, my furniture consisted of 4 milk crates that I got from a grocery store and some boards that I picked up at a construction site to make tables.
Wow.
I know. I'm with you.
I have kids. I want it out.
Yeah.
So you wanted out just as badly as he wanted you out?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the natural way of things.
Yes, it is. It's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
I can't believe, I've got people here that I work with that are in their upper 40s that are still living with their parents.
My gosh.
Oh.
Embarrassing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's embarrassing.
Not to them, apparently. Thanks, Michael.
I guess not.
To those of us who understand the situation, it is.
I mean, I do understand the stories of you say get a divorce,
mm-hmm.
and you go back to have a roof over your head for maybe a month, two,
mm-hmm.
right? If your parents have a house and a space for you.
Yeah.
You could go there for a couple of months.
Yeah.
I could see that, and then get out.
I think most parents extend that opportunity. Like
yes.
if you've fallen on really hard times, if circumstances, a lot of things have gone against you, and you just need a little.
I need to breathe. I need to breathe a little bit.
A hand up, yeah, not a hand out.
Right.
Then that that's one thing. But coming back to stay?
No.
Cindy in Virginia, you're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi. Hi. I'll get straight to the point. First of all, the fact that his parents have coddled him all these years and never held him accountable, which they should have started doing from childhood on, that's mm-hmm. one part of the problem. But the other part of the problem, and John in Montana picked up on it too, as soon as I saw that guy on TV yesterday on the news, the first thing that hit me was, I'll bet a buck he smokes pot every single day. Everybody I know that still smokes
mm-hmm.
pot.
Mm-hmm.
They live in another world.
Yeah,
another world of procrastination and not doing any more than they absolutely have to. And I really think that's a big part of the problem.
So you're saying it just saps the motivation out of people?
Yeah,
the drive.
I mean, they become psychologically addicted. And mm-hmm. well, I'll go look for a job tomorrow, but right now, let me get high.
Now I saw the guy too, and there's some pictures online if you want to check it out.
Uh-huh.
He's got long hair and a beard,
yep.
So that's what tipped you off that he's maybe a pothead.
Well, he looked like something out of the 70s.
He kind of did.
No, I gotta look
he kind of did.
I don't see what he looks
and
like.
I do, I mean, I grew up with a lot of these people, and I've.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've
yeah.
seen it. I see it even now sometimes when I'm out and about. You can just tell, and mm-hmm. it just takes you down that path that it's pathetic, because I'm sure he has no idea how good he would feel if he could just regain his self-respect.
Could well be. Thanks, Cindy. Appreciate it. Doing a little profiling there of a long hair.
Definite profiling of a long hair. And it's a pretty nice house. This is the first time I've seen the picture of the house.
I haven't seen the house. Huh. Yeah, I'd like to see the house. But the kid, he's 30. The guy is a long hair. And Cindy is doing some extrapolation that long hair equals pothead, which, because he's white, it's okay to do. If this was a minority, that would be completely out of bounds, and we'd have to
Shut that down.
Yeah, we'd have to snap you back on that whole theory. But because he's white, we'll allow it.
And plus, it looks as though she could be right
that he's a pothead.
Yeah.
So you also are profiling this poor man.
No, I'm just saying she could be right. I'm not profiling. I'm just possible.
It is possible.
And I will say that there's a number of, you know, unless you're already established in some sort of position of being a super smart person, at a particular place of employment, there's a lot of places that you would go to looking like that, and they would say, no thanks.
Oh, okay. You're saying it's tough to get a job when you've got that long, scraggly hair. It looks like it came from 1973. Yeah, probably. It makes it more difficult. Sure.
There's plenty of places, though, to hire. I mean, you tie it up in a knot. I mean, people wait on you all the time with long hair and a beard. Who cares?
Ed in Florida, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, guys. You guys are doing great.
Thank you.
Hey, I get right to it. My son, love him very much. Great young man. The boy, the last year and a half, you know, towards the end of high school was tough. Never studious at all, but really started hanging around the wrong crowd and you know, drugs, all types, smoking. Friends of his got addicted and had to go through rehab and all that. But anyway, you know, just went and get a job around the house and so forth, but still in school. Man, 60 days before graduation, looks at me and says, Dad, you know, I don't need my degree. Excuse me? Yeah, I'm just going to drop out. Well, I couldn't get, you know, he did. And then, you know, within 2 days, just slept in the house, second day into it, still didn't have a job or anything like that. It's like, son, this house is for moving forward or moving on. This is a positive place to be. You know, you need to go. And I booted him out. Man, if your kid lives there until 40, shame on you. It's your deal. It's not a kid. It's a damn man.
Right.
You know, the sucker fish likes eating food off the bottom, you know. If you have no motivation, and we need sucker fish, we need people to be on the bottom. But if you're going to coddle someone and they can get along on the bottom, shame on you. Because if they figure out they need to move up the food chain, good. You can't give them that motivation. They need to find it, and you're keeping them from finding it. And boot them out. My son went on and got a job in construction, then moved on to electrician where he wanted to be. Lives in Miami. Been down there to see him 2 or 3 times. Got a girlfriend. He's paying for the apartment. His car broke down, got into an accident. I helped him because he's doing the right thing for 6-7 months, you know, going to work every day, now working as an apprentice. His car broke down and so forth. Well, I helped him buy a bicycle. He was riding his bike 11 miles one way every day, including in the rain. I Ubered him a couple times because he's doing his stuff now.
Wow.
But he rode a bike for 2 months, and now he's, you know, the family down there helped him get a truck. So he's got a truck to use, but, you know, and he was given all the wrong signs. The mom and I's divorced household, unfortunately. I don't know if it would have made a difference either way. But, you know, I kept saying, you know, God, he's got to have work ethic. He's not displaying it now. You know, he's our kid. He's got to have it. And doggone, if he doesn't, I don't want my son to be. I want my son to be happy. And some people are happy being suckerfish. It's their journey. But, you know, get them to get started on their journey or shame on you.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Ed. Right. Yep. And that's a tough one. 11 miles to work on a bike in Miami where it's hot and humid.
Yeah.
That's where I draw the line. Nope. Sorry. I'm not doing that.
Really?
Motivated to do a lot of things and go the extra mile, but not bike to work in the humidity of Miami.
They have public transportation. Yeah, it just takes you longer. That's why I walked when I went to Florida, because the public transportation, it took longer to take the public transportation than it did for me to walk.
How far was it?
A couple miles.
You actually walked a couple of miles?
I mean, I don't necessarily appreciate the tone when you asked me that question.
888-727-BECK. More of the Glenn Beck program coming up.
Glenn Beck. Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
This story is amazing. It just keeps...
gets better.
It gets better.
It does get better. It has gotten better.
I found a story in the Washington Post that mentioned some of his quotes. The 30-year-old man who his parents took him to court to evict him from their house, and he won't leave. He's 30. Now, according to the story, Michael is a self-described businessman. Really? He's a businessman living in his parents' basement?
Just because you're a businessman doesn't make you a good businessman.
That is true. He also has a son of his own who he lost custody of. Why? Probably because he lives in his parents' house.
It's possible.
But he said his parents, they stopped feeding me. And they even cut me off of the family phone plan. Oh, no. Oh, no. Honey. No, I didn't realize there was that kind of abuse. So your mommy stopped making dinner for you at 30 years old? And they decided that you had to pay for your own food and your own phone plan at 30?
Oh, no.
Wow. And he said that this entire situation is really unfair.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It's really unfair. He also needed more time to be prepared to move out.
You got to get your head around it first.
He didn't have a reasonable amount of time to vacate. So
it's an amazing story.
It definitely is.
It's an absolutely stunning story.
I bet you he still has
story.
The Netflix password, though. I bet you they're still paying for Netflix.
I'll bet they are. Yeah. And probably his car insurance, too.
Yep.
888-727-BECK. Use that number tomorrow. We'll be back again filling in for Glenn. Meantime, you can check me out in just a minute here on Pat Gray Unleashed on the Blaze Radio and TV Network.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.